Today, will Australian property take a bath? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. We're frankly trying to forecast where the Australian economy might go when the situation in the realm changes every hour or so is not easy. But it does seem likely the RBA will decide to lift interest rates again, with some market analysts eyeing 4.6% incoming, arguing that before the war, the embedded inflation pulse and productivity constraints will force their hand. Sure, households have massive leverage into property and the costs of servicing that mortgage will rise, even as the economy and employment is set to slow. But then, top-line household disposable income was growing at around 6% and employment was historically low and the savings rate was not too bad either. A material wealth effect from house prices and strong super returns was aiding consumption growth, and even the long-awaited pickup in residential construction was actually coming through a little, with building approvals running at an annualised rate of around 200,000. And also, business investment was strong thanks specifically to the AI data centre boom. And as discussed recently, the latest monthly inflation number released last week showed that the headline measure of the volatile series fell from 3.8 to 3.7% from January to February, while trimmed mean inflation, that removes the energy and food prices, it's the preferred measure that the RBA looks at, remains stuck at around 3.3% according to the data from the ABS. But then, beware, as ironically, one of the biggest contributors to the lower headline number was a fall in the price of automotive fuel, which fell 3.4% in February after falling 3.2% in January. And of course, it's now rising fast. Worth also reflecting on the fact that it appears that the business sector's pricing power remains relatively strong, as exemplified by the price hikes pushed through by the likes of plumbing supplier group Reece, Uber, Australia Post, and the airlines in response to rising oil costs. Oh, and later there's the Fair Work Commission, which will meet to decide the increase in the national minimum wage when inflation is headed for 5.2% in the middle of the year, and with the government supporting a strong wage boost for the low paid. So it all sounds a bit inflationary to me. And so some are suggesting that the momentum in the economy will allow growth to hold up reasonably well, even in the face of the oil shock. But of course, it depends on the Iran situation and whether things get so bad that Australia is forced into petrol rationing. As the AFR reported, Australia consumes about 7.7 barrels of diesel per person each year. That's more than any other major economy. And most of Australia's petrol and diesel arrives from Asian refineries, but much of the crude that feeds those plants is sourced from the Middle East, creating a long and fragile supply chain that leaves Australia vulnerable to disruption at both ends. And we've been highlighting this for quite some time, by the way. Research by JP Morgan chief economist Ben Jarman shows that industries most exposed to surging fuel prices include forestry, where fuel accounts for almost half of input costs, followed by air transport at 31% and road transport at 20%. Australia's big money makers, coal mining, gas production, and iron ore extraction also rank among the top 10 most fuel-hungry sectors. So if they starve, then, well, Australia starves probably. So the question is, will growth get squeezed? And it's pretty hard to know how it's going to play out. But if that's where we land, then we're going to be heading into a recession, which of course would demand quite a different policy response from the RBA and the governor, but probably later. The rearview economic data will of course be late to the party, as will falling growth data as things get squeezed. But one of the immediate indicators of what is happening, as well as the growing list of sold out signs at the Bowser and the rising price of fuel, are the latest auction clearance figures. And whilst they are, as I highlight regularly, myopic, the change in trajectory is potentially close to real time. And it seems that the auction clearance rate nationally has slumped to its lowest level in almost 4 years on the back of worries about the war in the Middle East, and as well as further rate rises and already surging petrol prices. AMP Shane Oliver noted on X that clearances are continuing to fall, with more rate hikes likely, and the war depressing buyer confidence and pushing up listings. Withdrawals are also up. Looks headed for price falls, he said. The auction success rate fell to 60.9% nationally, according to the preliminary figures from Cotality. The true clearance rate, which compares the listed auctions to cleared auctions, dropped to 43.3%, underscoring the continued easing trend in auction clearance rates. It's been actually been evidence since the Reserve Bank of Australia started to raise interest rates in February. And we would need to go back to 2022 to see rates so low. We also saw a significant rise in auctions listed, up 46% on last week to be 41% higher than the same time a year ago, as sellers rush to get their properties on the block before the Easter long weekend. I would imagine what's running in the minds of many sellers is we'd better get out before the market falls further, Louis Christopher from SQM said. At the same time, many buyers are moving into the sidelines, deferring any decisions until they see how the economic situation plays out. Home buyers are clearly spooked right now. They have grave concerns about the direction of where this Iranian-Israeli-US war is going and what it means for interest rates and inflation. They're watching the stock market falling. Many of them are probably concerned about their own employment over the next few months, and they're holding off now. Cotality's daily home value index showed that prices in Sydney are marginally down so far this month, Christopher said, and he believed that Sydney prices were falling as we speak and could end the year 5% lower. But the analyst was careful to note that it wasn't necessarily a collapse by any means, and that strong individual results were still being achieved. The housing markets of Sydney and Melbourne, where more people are employed in the financial services sector, were more exposed to market volatility and price falls, he said. The Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide markets, where the resources sector had a greater role in the state economy, were likely to fare better. Dwelling prices in Perth were up 22% in the past 12 months, 17.3% in Brisbane and 10.9% in Adelaide. Auction clearances in Sydney dropped to 57.9% and to 63.5% in Melbourne, according to Cotality's preliminary success tally, or in true clearance terms, 42.4% and 46.1% respectively. In Adelaide, the early success rate was 69.2% or 38.9% on the true clearance basis. Brisbane was at 58.9% and Perth at 62.5% on Cotality's measures, or 36.3% and 41.7% respectively on the true measure. And the major real estate agency Ray White said that the number of prospective buyers inspecting properties listed for sale fell to 2.2 attendees per property, down from 3% for the corresponding period last year, which is another sign of the softening market. And ahead, it is likely we're going to see housing turnover, that is the number of properties being bought and sold, fall perhaps 17% from peak to trough in late 2026. Now, some analysts are suggesting that Australia's recent history of housing supply problems will largely protect house prices on a nominal basis, although on an inflation-adjusted basis, things look far grimmer, with declines of 2.6% in 2026 and 4.2% in 2027. But we think deeper falls are possible, and I will update my scenarios and modelling at the end of March. But here is an interim update suggesting a tilt to the downside is certainly possible. The other indicator concern us is a deep fall in consumer confidence that we saw last week, as reported by Roy Morgan and the Westpac Melbourne Institute. But interpreting that rather fickle measure is always problematic, as it might be consumers being more concerned about the psychological impact of petrol prices, which are highly visible and inescapable right now. But it might be that the auction clearance rates are actually a better bellwether for now. And it could well be that Australian property is due to take a bath, even as agents are spruiking the great buying opportunity reflected in lower prices. We will see. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.